Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, the man who calls it right down the middle, Dion Tyre Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. Ladies and gentlemen, your word for the day is conundrum. What is a conundrum, you may ask? Well, a conundrum is a confusing and difficult problem or question, otherwise known as a question asked for amusement, typically one with a pun in its answer or a riddle. Another definition of conundrum is a situation where there is no clear right answer or good solution. Can you use the word conundrum in a sentence? Why, yes. Yes, I can. San Francisco 49er quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo is a living, walking, breathing conundrum. I can't figure this dude out. What is Jimmy Garoppolo? Who is Jimmy Garoppolo? Where is Jimmy Garoppolo? How is Jimmy Garoppolo? When is Jimmy Garoppolo? So many questions. Do we have the answers? I can try my best. I can't make sense of this guy. On one hand, he's a drizzling shits. He can't hit open receivers. He can't go through his progressions. He can only throw a certain amount of routes with confidence. He can't throw the ball down the field. He's consistently inconsistent. He's somewhere between subpar and mediocre. He's injury prone. He misses more games than he plays in. And then days like today happen where all of a sudden, out of nowhere, when the chips are down, when the season is on the brink of disaster, Jimmy Garoppolo somehow pulls a quality game out of nowhere and plays football at a high level. So who or what is Jimmy Garoppolo? Can we make sense out of this, please? One thing about me and one thing I really take a lot of pride in is the fact that I don't mind giving people credit. Even if I don't like you, even if I've trashed you, mocked and ridiculed you, denigrated you, talked shit about you, sullied your image and your reputation, if you do something well, do something at a high level, I don't mind giving you your proper credit and respect. It's all about consistency, because at the end of the day, I just call what I see. Whatever I observe, I just make observations about that. So if you're a football player, and in particular, the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, and you have an absolutely horrible game like you did a week ago in the rain versus the Indianapolis Colts, where you're just absolutely abysmal for four quarters of football outside of like two decent drives here and there. When you play that shitty, I'll call it out. I will explicitly say that wasn't good enough. That sucked. That was below standard. That was subpar. That was mediocre. That's not what we're looking for. However, if you turn the corner and you play at a respectably high level, like Jimmy Garoppolo did today, I do not mind giving you your proper credit and respect. Give people their flowers. I'm all about that. It's too much hate in this world. Oftentimes, I've been misconstrued as being a hater. I'm not a hater. I just call what I see. I just make observations about what I observe. If what I observe is bullshit, I'm going to say it's bullshit. But if I observe excellence, it is overall awesomeness, I'll call it out and I'll acknowledge it. Jimmy Garoppolo played an awesome football game today. He did. No bullshit, no cap, not making nothing up, not over exaggerating anything, nothing of the sort. Jimmy Garoppolo played a good football game today. He did what he had to do. He made plays with his arms and his legs. He had two rushing touchdowns today. And they weren't quarterback sneaks. Like, he really had to run for these touchdowns. He was mobile in the pocket. He was decisive. He was confident. He was aggressive. He was assertive. He took charge. He showed emotion. He was enthusiastic. He was out there just playing football. He wasn't thinking about playing football. He just went out there and played. He did everything that guys like me have been asking and clamoring for him to do on a weekly basis. This is all I ask. Just play good football. When you play like shit, that's when I have a problem. But when you play good quality football, I'll acknowledge it. It's not that hard. It's actually quite simple. He played at a high level today. He played to a certain standard. He played like a guy who's getting paid $25 million a year to play quarterback in the NFL. He played like a guy who was the franchise quarterback. He played like a guy who was often celebrated and talked about as being a leader and a face of the San Francisco 49ers. And so many fans would yell at people like me and say, You need to respect Jimmy. He's great. He's awesome. He's our leader. He's QB1. He ain't going anywhere. He's the guy. You need to give him his proper respect. You're not a member of the faithful. You're not a true fan. I've heard it all before, like Sunshine Anderson, but I don't care about what people say. All I care about is what I see, and I care about as a 49er fan, I care about the team winning, and they won today. And a major reason they won today was the play, in particular in the second half, of Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy on the day was 17 out of 28 passing for 322 yards, a passer rating of 100.6, 5 carries, 4 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo was born and raised in Arlington Heights, Illinois, which coincidentally is where the Chicago Bears are thinking about building a new stadium at, Arlington Heights, Illinois. Jimmy Garoppolo grew up 30 miles away from Chicago. This is a homecoming for Jimmy Garoppolo. He had over 100 friends and family in attendance for this game. Maybe, here's a thought, we should take those 100 friends and family and bring them to every 49er game. Just have them travel with the team. If we can get all of Jimmy's friends and family to come to every 49er game, the 49ers will win the Super Bowl this season. Just make that happen. You're a multi-billion dollar franchise. Have all of Jimmy's friends and family come to every game this season. If he plays like that in front of all his people, well then fuck it. Bring all of his friends and family to every single 49er game. He was incredible today. In the second half. Even in the first half, he wasn't terrible. There were drop passes. He threw some decent balls in the first half. There was one play where he should have got picked. We overthrew Juwan Jennings. That was a terrible miss by Jimmy. But other than that, in the first half, you know, the team only had 9 points in the first half. I wouldn't put that on Jimmy. Deebo Samuel had 2 drops in the first half. Mohamed Sanu had another drop. You know, receivers still, it's still a problem with the 49ers receivers in regards to catching passes. 49er receivers couldn't catch COVID at a Trump rally. It seems to be a problem this season catching the football. No matter who the quarterback is, if it's Jimmy Garoppolo and his pillow soft passes or Trey Lance out there throwing live bullets, it doesn't matter. 49er receivers can't catch the football this season, so you can't put that on either quarterback. That's on the receivers. A major part of your job of being a receiver is to catch the fucking football. But I digress. But back to Garoppolo. You know what's so frustrating about Garoppolo? He showed today and a few times in the past that he's capable of playing this kind of football. This was easily the best and most complete game he's played all season. If he was more consistent and plays to this standard on a weekly basis, I wouldn't be so harsh on him. Because once again, all I ask for is consistency. This should not be a celebratory moment for Garoppolo or his fans. This should be the norm for an 8-year pro making $25 million a year. Do this on a weekly basis and I'll shut the fuck up. Same goes for Kyle Shanahan. This was the best game Kyle has called since week 1 versus Detroit. He didn't inexplicably give up on the running game. He called a very quarterback-friendly game for Jimmy. No ridiculous challenge flags and nothing egregiously stupid as far as clock management goes. So for Jimmy and Kyle, I'll give you your flowers. Good game this week. Now do it again next week, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that, and keep doing it on a consistent, repeated basis, and I'll shut the fuck up. This is all I've been asking for. Do good things. Positivity. I'll show positivity when you show me positive shit. I'm not sure if people truly understand the gravity of today's game. All last week, you had people like myself and other 49er experts and pundits and analysts and media members. The conversation all last week was, could this possibly be the final start in a San Francisco 49er uniform for Jimmy Garoppolo? Could this be it? If he goes out and has a bad game versus the Chicago Bears, does he get benched? And now does it become Trey Lance time? Does it all come full circle? Because if you remember, his first ever start for the 49ers in 2017 was against the Chicago Bears. So a lot of people thought it was going to come full circle. His first start against Chicago, this potentially could have been his last start as a quarterback for the 49ers against the Chicago Bears. There was a lot riding on this game. You're 2-4. You're on a 4-game losing streak. Garoppolo, starting quarterback, lost 3 of those games and didn't play well for the entirety of those games. This was a big game. I don't care who the opponent was. People could say, well, Chicago's not that good. They suck. And, you know, for the most part, they do. They were missing Khalil Mack today, their best player, especially their best defensive player. a pass rusher that's one of the more lethal and feared pass rushers in the NFL. You know, they weren't at 100% capacity, but still, you got to go in and play the opponent as is. No team, once you get into the meat and potatoes of the season, which is where we're at right now, no team is operating at 100% full capacity. There's going to be injuries to every team you play against, so I don't want to hear about that. I'm not going to diminish a victory. He did what he had to do against the opponent that showed up to play this week. Ain't nothing but grown men on that field. Go look at what happened today between the Jets and the Bengals, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Any given Sunday is real. Anybody can win on any chosen week. So I don't care who the Bears were missing. The 49ers are missing a bunch of people, too. They're missing George Kittle. They're missing Jason Verrett, Raheem Mostert. I see George Kittle with more commercials than I do football games. So the Niners are not operating at 100%. They got injuries all over the place. Dre Greenlaw, Aziz Al-Shahir didn't play today. Injuries everywhere. But they came to Chicago and did what they had to do and got their third win of the season. And now you're 3-4. You're back in the playoff hunt. And all of a sudden, all the doom and gloom from last week is now turned around. Now it's all sunshine and rainbows. You went out, you won a football game today. You're 3-4. And next week's opponent, the Arizona Cardinals, potentially could be without their star quarterback, Kyler Murray, who's out with an ankle injury. So you got a really good chance to get to 500 next week with a victory against Arizona. And that's a division rival. This team was 2-4 48 hours ago, because the game was just played today. This team was 2-4, four-game losing streak, at the brink of disaster. Coach might get fired. Quarterback talk about getting benched. General manager talking about getting fired. From people like me, I've done podcasts talking about this, full transparency. And yet, here you are with a victory today, and now you're right back in the playoff hunt. Today was Halloween. Jimmy Garoppolo went and dressed up as a competent NFL quarterback. That was his Halloween costume for today. He should wear that costume every week. Be a competent NFL professional quarterback. And you know what Jimmy did today? Let's get into the game, man. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get right into the game. It's 13-6 Chicago with the lead right after the two-minute warning. Justin Fields had just thrown a dime to Jesse James to make it 13-6. This was a spectacular play by Fields, and this was easily the best game that Justin Fields has had in the NFL. He was incredible today. He looked like the guy that the Chicago Bears traded up to get in the first round. He looked like the best quarterback in the draft today. He was amazing. This was the best game Justin Fields ever played today, which is a little bit troubling. As a Niner fan, you think about the Niners' defense giving up that much yardage, that many big plays to a quarterback who hadn't made a lot of plays so far this season. The Bears' offense was ranked, the passing offense was ranked dead last coming into this game. Justin Fields only had three touchdown passes before this game was played, but he threw one in the first half on a play fake to the running back, spun to his left, rolled to his left, and just threw an absolute fucking dime to Jesse James in the end zone for a touchdown. It's now 13-6. The Niners had moved the ball well the entire first half, had to settle for a field goal three times. Replacement kicker Justin Sly had missed a field goal early in the game. So the special teams are a little shaky today, the kicking game in particular. But it's 13-6. Niners have the ball with about a minute 14 to go. Garoppolo hits Mohamed Sanu on a slant on third down to keep the drive going. Gets about the 45-yard line, and then a miracle happens. Something unbelievable happens, something the 49er fans have not seen in at least 2 years. Jimmy Garoppolo hit a deep pass down the field. Do you believe this? Jimmy Garoppolo set his feet, looked downfield, squared up his shoulders, and made an absolute beauty of a pass downfield to Deebo Samuel to about the 5-yard line. It's the best throw Jimmy Garoppolo's had all season. That's not even a question. This was the best throw Jimmy's had in about 2 seasons. A dime. This ball fell out the sky. You couldn't have walked down the field and handed the ball off to Deebo Samuel any better than this. This was a perfect throw. Once again, full transparency. When you do something right, I'll acknowledge it. This throw was awesome. Jimmy's best throw in 2 years. Niners get the ball at about the 5-yard line. 7 seconds on the clock. No timeouts. They got to clock the football with about 7 seconds left. They run another play. They can't score. Got to settle for a field goal. Make it 13-9 going into halftime. Now we get to the second half, and Justin Fields is still playing elite caliber football. had a nice slant over the middle to Marquise Goodwin, escaped pressure from Nick Bosa, picked up a first down, escaped a sack, a surefire sack by Fred Warner with a spin move to pick up another first down. Justin Fields was balling today. Let's give, once again, man, let's give credit where credit is due. Justin Fields been struggling all season. Justin Fields played his ass off today. That was high caliber football. Justin Fields was a motherfucking problem for the 49ers today. Salute to that brother, man. He's been, same thing, man, much maligned, criticized on some levels. People saying, you know, he's not that good. I've heard some people say he's a bust already. He's overrated. The media was clamoring for him to play, and look what happened. He's out there struggling, stinking to join up. He had that game versus Cleveland where he got sacked 9 times, where Matt Nagy committed a hate crime against him with his play calling. The game last week versus Tampa, he had about 3 turnovers in that game. He was the drizzling shits last week. You had 2 quarterbacks in this game who both had awful weeks last week. Jimmy was dumpster juice versus the Indianapolis Colts, and Justin Fields was a used tampon versus the Buccaneers. And look how both of these quarterbacks rebounded and played quality football this week. I'm happy for both of them, to be honest about it. I'm happy for both of these quarterbacks. You face adversity 1 week, you turn it around and make a negative into a positive the following week. That's called growth. That's called progression. That's called being a grown man. On this same drive in the red zone, Fields threw an absolute dime, a laser shot to Jesse James in the end zone once again. This time he dropped it, much to the Bears' chagrin. But for me as a Niner fan, I was happy to see this. He drops the surefire touchdown in the end zone. So instead of going up 20-9, they got settled for a field goal to make it 16-9 Chicago. Now we get to the next possession for the 49ers. Fast forward to 3rd and 20 after a penalty. Now your back is really against the wall. Now the chips are really down. What are you made of? What kind of testicular and intestinal fortitude do you have? Can you claim this moment, this defining moment in your career as a 49er quarterback and 49er player in general? You're the leader of this football team. How do you respond to being down 16-9 on the road when you're coming off a 4-game losing streak? You're at home. This is where you grew up at. All your friends and family are there. What do you do, Jimmy Garoppolo? You throw a screen to Deebo Samuel and let him do the rest of the work. Deebo goes 83 yards inside the 5-yard line. Initially, it was ruled a touchdown. Upon further review, Deebo stepped out of bounds about the 4 or 5 yard line. Still first and goal inside the 5-yard line. This was a pivotal play. You cannot overstate this enough. This was the biggest play of the game. The Niner offense was sputtering. Like I said, they moved the ball, but it had settled for multiple field goals. They weren't getting touchdowns. The 49ers had not scored a touchdown versus Chicago since 2015, when Blaine Gabbert was the starting quarterback for the 49ers in that game. Blaine Gabbert, Yo Gabba Gabbert, was the last 49er quarterback to lead a successful touchdown drive against the Chicago Bears, and that was 6 years ago. The Niners, to this point, had not punched it into the end zone. 3 field goals. You got to score at this point. You're down by a touchdown. And Jimmy hits Deebo for this crazy screen pass. Great blocking by Charlie Warner and Kyle Juszczyk the entire game. Great downfield blocking by Mohamed Sanu. Deebo with an excellent job outrunning defenders until he was run down at the 5-yard line. But this, no question about it, was the biggest play of the game and the turning point for the 49ers in this football game. So Deebo takes this screen down to about the 4-yard line. We get to about 3rd and goal. Deebo goes in motion. I think this play was supposed to go to Deebo on like a jet sweep or something like that. It got fucked up. But Jimmy, to his credit, remained composed and just stayed calm in the situation, took the direct snap. He runs it off the left side. That was a theme throughout the entire game. That was a recurring theme. All the 49ers' success in the run game came to the left side, running behind Trent Williams, who fortunately was able to play for the Niners today after being out last week with ankle and knee injuries. But Trent was able to play today, so the left side of the offensive line was solid all day, and that's where big gains in the running game came from. And this particular touchdown by Jimmy Garoppolo came running to the left side. He punches it in. Touchdown 49ers, but unfortunately the extra point is missed. So instead of being tied at 16, it is now Chicago 16, San Francisco 15 due to the missed extra point. Jump ahead to the 4th quarter. Jimmy gets a nice pass over the middle to Deebo Samuel. Hits another nice pass to backup tight end Charlie Warner. Hits another nice pass to fullback Kyle Juszczyk. This all leads to Elijah Mitchell, the star running back for the 49ers right now, punching it in for a 10-yard touchdown. the entire team, pushed him into the goal line, including Garoppolo, pushed him across the goal line. I think I saw Kevin Barlow, Fred Beasley, Junior Bryant, Terrell Owens, Andre Carter, Julian Peterson out there pushing Elijah Mitchell across the goal line for the touchdown. Like every person who's ever put on a 49er uniform in the past 30 years was out there pushing Elijah Mitchell across the goal line. Team effort personified to make this touchdown happen. And the Niners go for two. So now the Niners have the lead. It's 23-16 San Francisco, the first lead of the day for the 49ers. But not to be deterred, the Bears answer right back. Justin Fields takes them right down the field. They get down to about the 22-yard line. He fakes a handoff, and maybe this was also a botch play. Rolls to his right. Eric Armstead has outside contained, cannot make the tackle on Justin Fields. He loses him, reverses field, comes back the opposite way, shakes off two more 49er defenders, and takes it all the way in for a 22-yard touchdown. A spectacular play. This looked like 1996 Barry Sanders. This was Gale Sayers out there. This was an incredible football play by Justin Fields, making chicken salad out of chicken shit, just making something out of nothing. He was dead to rights. Eric Armstead had him, and they didn't have him. Even though that was against my team, that was still one of the coldest runs I've seen on a football field in quite some time. That shit was vicious. And like I said, Armstead had him. And then you shake off Armstead and just turn and pivot and reverse field and just run away from everybody in a white and gold jersey. That was cold. Tip of the cap to Justin Fields. That was a hell of a run. That run was like playing Madden 05 and having Michael Vick as the quarterback of the Falcons. Like, that was a fucking cheat code. That shit wasn't even fair. That was the kind of play that Fields made today. He looked like 2005 Michael Vick in a video game. Awesome football play by Justin Fields. But like I said, missed extra point. It's 23-22 going forward. Niners get the ball back. And then another miracle happened. In this game, 49er fans got two miracles in one game. One was Jimmy Garoppolo successfully completing a downfield pass where the ball traveled more than 10 yards in the air. The ball traveled about 50 yards in the air. And he completed it. That's a miracle. But then we got a second miracle. Kyle Shanahan didn't give up on the running game. Kyle Shanahan continued to run the football when his team had the lead. I'm baffled by this. What a concept. What a thought. Can you believe that? You have the lead in the fourth quarter and you run the football to protect the lead. I didn't think such a thing was possible. I thought if you were doing something and being successful at it, that you should just deviate from that for no particular reason, unprovoked. You should just stop doing whatever is successful before the opposing team figures it out. But in this particular game, in this particular week, Kyle Shanahan decided, I'm not going to outsmart myself. I'm not going to try to prove to everyone how much of a genius I am. I'm going to stick with what's working. Outside toss zone plays to Elijah Mitchell, to the left side, running behind Trent Williams. Don't bother with the right side. Wasn't shit happening over there. Just keep running to the left. A little quick toss to Elijah Mitchell. Elijah Mitchell has now become your brand new Raheem Mostert. Mostert's out for the season. Elijah Mitchell taking the sixth round from the University of Louisiana. I told people on this podcast when I recapped the Niners draft of 2021, I told people that Elijah Mitchell was going to be the better running back between he and Trey Sermon. Only time will tell, but so far, so good. I'm right on that one. I accurately called that. Even though Trey Sermon was a third-round pick from The Ohio State University and Elijah Mitchell was a sixth-round pick from Louisiana, I told people he fits the Shanahan running game better than Trey Sermon does. Quick, fast, can get downhill, north and south in a hurry. Stretch plays, zone running scheme, tosses to the outside. That fits Elijah Mitchell's game more than it fits Trey Sermon's game. That's why you don't see Trey Sermon on the field, which makes it all the more confusing as to why the Niners even took him in the draft in the first place. If he doesn't fit your scheme and what you do, and you value and love your scheme so much, why would you take him in the first place? That's a different story. Elijah Mitchell in this game once again went past 100 yards. He surpassed his previously set career high of 107 from last week. 137 yards this week on 18 carries, 7.6 yards per carry, and one touchdown. Excellent game by Elijah Mitchell. He was the key to success today because it's been proven in the past, time and time again, Jimmy Garoppolo plays his best football when the running game is working. so he can get play action off of that and take shots down the field. That's the Shanahan system. That's what Kyle likes to do. You assert the running game first, get play action off of that, and make it very easy and comfortable for your quarterback. This was a quarterback-friendly game that Kyle called today. It's unfortunate he couldn't do the same thing for Trey Lance a few weeks ago, but I digress. But today, for Jimmy Garoppolo, that was a very quarterback-conducive game plan that Kyle Shanahan called today. Misdirection plays, counters, tosses, play action, moving the pocket. Simple, easy throws for the quarterback, cutting the field in half when you need to. Why couldn't he do this for Trey Lance? Like, even when the team wins, I'm still skeptical about something. It wouldn't be me if I didn't find something wrong with everything. I'm looking at the game today. I'm thinking to myself, you couldn't do the same thing for Trey Lance 2 weeks ago versus Arizona. That just, it makes you question everything. It makes you think to yourself, what is really going on behind closed doors over there? He's capable of doing this. That's what's so maddening and frustrating about this game today. I'll celebrate the win, but on the other hand, it's like, if you guys can do this week, why can't you do it every week? Where is the consistency? Obviously, you have it in you. It's in the system. You know how to do this. You're not stupid. You're not an idiot. You know how to call plays. You know how to put together a game plan that works for the quarterback, for Garoppolo. You know how to play the position. I've seen you do this before. New Orleans in 2019, Arizona twice that season, the Rams the second time, Seattle in week 17. I've seen you have good games before. Today was the 10th good game that Jimmy Garoppolo has played as the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers in 5 years. Today was his 10th good game. It's frustrating because he can do this. You can do it. I know you can do it, Jimmy. Why can't you do it more often? Why can't it be consistent? Does it take for you to go home back to Illinois, Chicago, in front of close friends and family where you grew up at? Is that what it takes? Is that what you need every week? Jimmy Garoppolo is like CM Punk. Like he performs at his best in Chicago in front of his hometown people. Maybe Jimmy should get a Pepsi tattoo and run onto the field to cult a personality by living color every week. CM Garoppolo. Jimmy Punk, whatever you want to call him. He's at his best in the most weirdest situations when you least expect it. Because truth be told, I didn't think he'd have a good game today. I don't expect that because he usually plays like shit. So I don't expect him to have a good game. I'm waiting for him to throw an interception. I'm waiting for the weekly Jimmy Garoppolo turnover. All game, I watch the entire game as I do every week. I'm waiting for the weekly Jimmy Garoppolo turnover. Thankfully, it never came. It never happened. Clean football game. High level. The running game working. Kyle doesn't deviate away from it. Later on in this drive, Jimmy scores his second rushing touchdown in the game on an RPO. They run RPO with Jimmy Garoppolo and he scored a touchdown successfully and didn't get hurt. This game was full of surprises. This game was amazing. This was astonishing. This game was full of things I didn't know were still possible. Kyle can call a cohesive game plan. Jimmy can play at a high level, make smart decisions, take care of the football, and not get hurt. I didn't know he could do that. Apparently, he can. They tack on a field goal later on. They win 33-22. Not a perfect game by any stretch of the imagination. Even though the defense had 4 sacks and they lost contain on Justin Fields numerous times, he had over 100 yards rushing in this game. Khalil Herbert, the Bears running back, had a number of explosive runs. He had 13 carries for 66 yards, 5.1 yards a carry in the first half. He got banged up a little bit in the second half and couldn't play for the rest of the game, thankfully, because like I said, we couldn't stop him. The 49ers are going to miss Javon Kinlaw. Javon Kinlaw, the former number one draft pick in 2020, the 13th pick overall, the man who was brought in, was drafted to replace DeForest Buckner, has been injured off and on throughout his entire tenure with the 49ers, and last week he had season-ending knee surgery. Surprise, surprise, a guy who had bad knees written all over his scouting report has bad knees. If only somebody with the 49er organization could have read that scouting report and realized and came to the understanding that Javon Kinlaw, as good of a football player as he is, and he is good, has bad knees. But without his presence on the field, the Niner defensive running game is suspect. How to defend the running game from other teams. without Kinlaw, the run defense is completely trash, and it's going to be a problem going forward for the rest of the season. Josh Norman got called for his weekly defensive penalty. He had a defensive holding or illegal contact in the third quarter, but he did have a pick to seal the deal late in the game off of Justin Fields. He also forced a fumble that was recovered by Chicago. So he had a up and down, balanced, even keel game, I guess. You fuck up and make a penalty, as he often does, as he does every week. But then you come up with a turnover, as he also does almost every week. He had a forced fumble in last week's game versus Indianapolis. So Norman's going to make mistakes, but Norman's also going to make some big plays, too. I guess you just got to live with it, since Kyle refuses to play the two defensive backs you took in the 2021 NFL draft. I will continue to lament about that point, because to me, it's fucking infuriating. You have two guys in Kirkpatrick and Josh Norman on the wrong side of 30, out there stinking up the joint for the most part, and you have two young rookies who you refuse to play. But nevertheless, for today anyway, it was good enough to have Norman and Kirkpatrick out there. The Niners win. The three stars in the game, I already talked about Jimmy, I already talked about Elijah Mitchell, but you also got to talk about Deebo Samuel. Tuck your chain in, Deebo coming. Who? Deebo. The Bears defense needed Craig and a cinder block to slow down Deebo in this game. Deebo had 6 catches for a 171, including that game-breaking, game-changing 83-yard screen pass where he did all the work to take it down inside the 5-yard line and set up the 49ers' first touchdown of the game. He also had that deep pass he caught from Garoppolo at the end of the first half to set up a field goal. So Deebo Samuel, once again, carrying the football team. He is easily, right now, the best player on the San Francisco 49ers. Deebo Samuel, number 19, out of South Carolina, playing wide receiver, is the best player on the 49er roster right now. He is also setting records and doing something that's unprecedented with the 49ers. Deebo Samuel, through 7 games, has 819 yards after today's 171-yard outburst in Chicago. The previous high was held by the illustrious, the great, the GOAT, the wide receiver GOAT in the NFL, Jerry Rice, who had posted 781 yards in the same time span in 1986, his second year in the NFL. Deebo Samuel, 819 yards in 7 games. Jerry Rice, 781. That's good company. Since the merger, only 6 players have posted higher receiving yards totals through 7 games. That was Marvin Harrison with the Colts in 2000 with 853, Isaac Bruce with the Rams in 1995 with 833, the St. Louis Rams at that time, Julio Jones with the Atlanta Falcons in 2016, 830, Wes Welker with the Patriots, who currently is the 49ers receiving coach, had 824 yards in 2011, Adam Thielen for the Minnesota Vikings in 2018 had 822 yards, and Isaac Bruce once again for the St. Louis Rams, for the greatest show on turf, St. Louis Rams, in the year 2000, 821 yards. Those are the only 6 men in NFL history, or well, only 5 men, because one guy did it twice, Isaac Bruce. Only 5 men in NFL history have had more receiving yards in the 7-game span than Deebo Samuel. It's also worth noting that with his 171 yards today in Chicago, Deebo now has 3 games with more than 150 yards this season. The all-time record for 150-yard games in a season is 5, held by Antonio Brown, Tim Brown, Roy Green, and Jerry Rice. No 49er player has ever done it 3 times in the first 7 games. That includes Jerry Rice and Terrell Owens and John Taylor. Deebo Samuel is also on track to break Calvin Johnson's record for receiving yards in the full season that he set in 2012. That was in a 16-game season. Remember, this is now a 17-game regular season, so it's one more game for Deebo Samuel to put up yards and build up his stats. In that 16-game season in 2012, Calvin Johnson had 1,964 yards, more than 100 yards clear of Jerry Rice's previous record of 1,848 that he set in 1995. Deebo Samuel's 117 yards per game pace puts him on track for 1,989 yards in 17 games, which would set a new NFL record. Needless to say, Deebo Samuel's having a hell of a football season. I look forward to watching it continue and hope he can build upon this. Hope he can break those records. He's carrying this offense right now. Without George Kittle, without Raheem Mostert, Deebo Samuel is carrying this offense. With Brandon Ayuk, who had a better game today, but still Brandon Ayuk is not putting up the level of production they put up in the second half of last season. You hope he can get better. and get more opportunities, at least get on the field. He played a good bit today. Like I said, he played good football for the most part today. But without the emergence of a true second receiver, it's going to be Debo or bust. Now, it's only a matter of time until defenses figure that out and start double-teaming him and try to take him out of the game and going to force someone else to step up and produce him and play at a higher level at receiver for the 49ers. But until that happens, you got to keep going with Debo Samuel because right now he is carrying this offense. He is the heart and soul of this football team. He's the best player on the football team right now. And the Niners would be 0-7 right now without Debo Samuel. I'll go ahead and say that. They'd be 0-7. They'd be the Detroit Lions if they didn't have Debo Samuel. So to recap all this, big win, much needed win, snap a 4-game losing streak. Jimmy Garoppolo answered the call. Much maligned, much scrutinized, the most polarizing 49er player since Colin Kaepernick. Heard it all last week from critics such as myself. He got blistered, he got lambasted, he got destroyed by the media, by everyone else, every 49er fan for the most part, destroyed Garoppolo last week and said this week his job was on the line. Well, he rose to the occasion. If his job was on the line, if his career as a 49er quarterback was on the line against the Chicago Bears, Jimmy Garoppolo lives to see another day. He lives to fight another week. That was a great performance, played at a high level. The only thing I'm asking is, can you do it again? Can you repeat this? Can you put together consistent games in a row? Something Garoppolo's never done as a quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. At least to me, from my perspective, I don't think he's ever played consecutive games in a row that were good. He has one good game here and there, and it kind of builds up false hope. And 49er fans in particular, Jimmy Garoppolo fans, are ready to throw a parade for him. I'm not going to go that far. I'm just going to celebrate the fact that we won and he had a good game. But at the same time, I'm going to challenge him to do it again. I'm going to challenge Kyle Shanahan to do this again. Put together a coherent and cohesive game plan that accentuates your player's strengths and hides their weaknesses. If you're doing something that's working, keep doing it. Don't just deviate from it for no reason. Don't outsmart yourself. Don't try to prove to everyone that you're a genius. Call a game plan that makes sense and puts your team in the best position to win. This is the challenge going forward. If you want people like me to shut the fuck up and leave you alone, do good things. Call a good game plan. And for Jimmy Garoppolo, play good football, play the quarterback position the way true 49er fans demand that position be played. These are the San Francisco 49ers. I made this point before. This is the team of John Brody and Joe Montana and Steve Young and Jeff Garcia and Colin Kaepernick and Alex Smith. A history of quarterbacking excellence with this football team. There's a tradition here. There's a level of prestige that comes with playing quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. That's why, speaking for myself, that's one of the reasons I'm so tough on Jimmy Garoppolo, because I want this dude to be better. I want him to be consistently better. This performance today, step in the right direction. Do it again next week. And more specifically, another challenge I'm going to issue right now. Next week is a home game. The 49ers have lost 10 out of their last 11 home games. They have not won a home game since October 18th of last season on a Sunday night game versus the LA Rams. They have not won a home game in a full calendar year. So the next challenge I'm going to issue is win a fucking home game. Win a football game played at Levi's Stadium. Do that. Go back to back with this. You played good today in Chicago. Carry it over to next week. Don't get complacent. Don't rest on your laurels. Don't think you really won or accomplished something today. You beat the Chicago Bears. Yes, it's a professional football team full of grown men. But at the end of the day, they have a losing record. You're going against the Arizona Cardinals next week. They have a winning record. Beat that team and do it at home in front of the home fans. I might go to that game this week. I might make a power move this week and buy a ticket to that game this week. As I've said many times before in the podcast, I'm only 15 minutes away from Levi's Stadium. I haven't been to a game yet this season. They've played 3 home games. I'm 0-3 so far. I need to get to at least 2. So I might make that power move. I might be at Levi's Stadium this Sunday. And if I do decide to go to this game this Sunday versus the Arizona Cardinals, I want to see a win, because every 49er game I've been to, they lost. Levi's Stadium is not much of a home field advantage, apparently. They always lose when they play there, when they play home games. I want to go to a Niner game, and I want to see them win. Get the job done this Sunday. That's the challenge for Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. Handle your fucking business and win again. You can't go a full calendar year without winning a home football game. That's preposterous. That's reflective of a bad football team. Win a football game this Sunday at Levi's in Santa Clara. Home game in front of the 49er faithful, quotation marks around the word faithful. Take care of your business in front of your home fans and your home stadium. If the San Francisco 49ers, the 2021 San Francisco 49ers, are a good football team and a potential playoff football team, if that's the case, then you should be able to win football games at home. If you're going to be a playoff team, at some point you got to start beating good football teams. All three wins this season are against teams that are sub 500. If you're a real football team, you can beat teams that are over 500. They're 6-1, the Cardinals. They just lost their first game last week against the Green Bay Packers on Thursday Night Football. Like I said, Kyler Murray's hobbling around with a bad ankle. J.J. Watt's out for the season. You can win this game. You got Colt McCoy this Sunday. If you can't beat Colt McCoy, you shouldn't be in the playoffs. You're not a playoff team. If you can't beat Colt McCoy at home in Levi's Stadium, you're not a playoff team. Take care of your business this Sunday, San Francisco. Take care of your business, Kyle Shanahan. Handle your fucking business, Jimmy Garoppolo. Repeat this performance you gave today and win a home game. I don't think that's too much to ask. All in all things considered, to summarize it, good game, good win, came from behind. Offense got off to a slow start. Special teams had some miscues. Defense wasn't perfect. Defense really wasn't good at all. Except for the second half, I guess some adjustments were made. But kind of an uneven performance, but appreciate the grit and the toughness, the heart, the resolve, the resiliency of Jimmy Garoppolo and the overall play of Jimmy Garoppolo. Kyle Shanahan with a much better game plan and much better play calling. Deebo Samuel being outstanding. Elijah Mitchell being phenomenal. Good win. Move on to next week. Take care of business. Beat Colt McCoy at home. And let's keep this thing going. Get the 500, and you're right back in the playoff hunt. However, if you fuck around and lose this Sunday at home at Levi's to Colt McCoy, well, needless to say, the podcast following that game is going to be a lot to say on that particular podcast. However, for this particular podcast, there is no more to say. Thank you once again for listening to the Dion Gordon podcast. Always appreciative, very much humble, eternally grateful, all the above. Until next time, picture me rolling. I'm out.